Bile in England then. Let's go today just specifically to England and the reforms. The reforms go through a series of reigns. Now, the most important thing is, well, you need to know the names, but the important thing is not the personality of Henry, the personality of Edward, the personality of Mary, and the personality of Elizabeth. The important thing is the continual pressure towards modernisation of society, and therefore modernisation of religion, and these different people will intervene in different ways. And we will always have the Protestant ideas, Catholic ideas, but also the conflict between king and parliament. And little by little, parliament will be more Protestant than the king, which is logical in a way. Kings like hierarchy. If you were a king, a queen, you would like hierarchy. Normal. Okay, so let me... Je vais vous vendre la mèche au début. Je vais résumer en 5 minutes ce qui se passe et puis je recommence au début. Henry VIII will separate the church in England from the Pope. Separation. A separate church in England. Very shocking. But Henry is not a Protestant. What he wants is a separate church, but the same. When he dies, Edward VI... Under Edward VI, the church in England will become much more Protestant, in a whole series of different ways. A few years, and he dies. Mary will try to rebuild Catholicism. She will phone the Pope, say, I want to be Catholic again, okay? But there are some things she will not bring back. Because it is very difficult to reverse. And finally, Elizabeth will find a new compromise. A Protestant church, but not too radically Protestant, because she wants to keep everybody a little bit happy. Okay, so that's a big story. So let's go back to the beginning. Henry first. Henry VIII, he has a big problem. Doesn't have a son. Yeah. He's got to have a son to stabilise the royal family. He must have a son. And of course, when his queen does not give him a son, he wants a divorce. Normally, if you are a king, a divorce is not so difficult. You contact the Pope, dear Pope, please can I have a divorce? And normally, at this time, the Pope says, oh, you're a king, okay, no problem. Yeah. It's very unusual, this situation where the Pope refuses. The Pope refuses to give Henry a divorce. He wants to divorce Catherine and marry Anne Boleyn because he wants a son. And the Pope refuses. So why does the Pope refuse? The Pope refuses because there is already a conflict between the king and the church. Inside England. Remember, I told you that the church is very powerful. The church has church taxes, petty taxia, disemple, church taxes, church courts, tribunals, very, very rich landowners, a lot of power. And the king has taxes and courts and helpers, and there is some conflict, parallel power. And so there is already a conflict, and this is the reason that the Pope refuses the divorce. So Henry begins a campaign to persuade the Pope. Henry tries to make life difficult for the Pope because he hopes that as a result the Pope will say, okay, you can have a divorce. So for several years there is a conflict, a slow conflict. First of all, you have the submission of the clergy. Yeah. a very simple idea. This is a law passed by Henry. Very simple idea. He says, the decrees of the Pope are only valid in England if I, the King, approve them. The decrees of the Pope must have the King's approval. This is the submission of the clergy. And what's more, I am the King. I'm the King, and you are the priests. I want you to sign this document to say you agree that the King should have control over approving the legislation. Yeah? Of course, if you don't sign it, life could be rather dangerous for you. Sorry. So this is one element, this is one campaign of the King to persuade the Pope. Then after that, he forbade appeals to the Pope. Traditionally, in some circumstances, if you were not successful in a tribunal, you could appeal to the Pope. And so the King said, okay, no appeals to the Pope. So again, Henry is making life difficult for the Pope because he hopes to get this divorce. But the Pope says no. However, the Pope wants a compromise. And the Pope says, you can't have your divorce, but you can choose the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now, in England, the Archbishop of Canterbury is the number one of the church. Even today, the Archbishop of Canterbury. Why Canterbury? I don't know. The Archbishop of Canterbury is number one. And so when the Archbishop died, said, who shall be the Archbishop? And the Pope said, Henry, you can choose the Archbishop. It's let's be friends, yeah? You can choose the Archbishop. And so Henry chose the Archbishop. He chose, it's just so noisy, Cranmer became the new Archbishop. However, the Pope made a mistake. Cranmer is the new Archbishop. The new Archbishop. And the Pope made a mistake because the first thing which Cranmer did is he said, okay, Henry, here is your divorce. Huh? And so the new Archbishop approved the divorce of Henry. The Pope, of course, was so that they are now divorced. Henry and Catherine are divorced. The Pope is very unhappy and excommunicates Henry. Alors, Henri se fait excommunier par le pape, c'est-à-dire exclu de l'Église. Il faut dire qu'à l'époque, les gens, ils prenaient ça super au sérieux. Rappelez-vous que tout le monde croit très fermement en Dieu et à l'Église. Alors, être excommunié, c'était pas rien, quoi. C'était très fort. OK, and so Henry says, OK, well, in that case, I will be the new head of the church in England. So he passes a new law, the Act of Supremacy. The Act of Supremacy. And the Act of Supremacy, of course, it's a law. An act is a law. And the Act of Supremacy is very simple. It says, the Pope is not the boss, the King is the boss. So Henry is now the head of the church in England. Notez bien que je dis the church in England. Ce n'est pas encore the church of England. Sorry. Okay. C'est vrai qu'aujourd'hui, aujourd'hui la reine est encore aujourd'hui le chef de l'Église d'Angleterre. Et c'est vrai que c'est pour une Église, ça semble un peu étrange d'avoir une reine comme chef. Mais c'est assez courant. En Suède, c'est la même chose. En Norvège aussi, mais. C'est vrai que ça ne fait pas très religieux, le faire comme ça. Mais bon, voilà. OK, so, after the Act of Supremacy, Henry VIII is the head of the church in England. most of the bishops and the priests, la plupart des évêques et des prêtres, say, oh, okay, you're the boss, fine. But a few of them say, no, this is against the will of God. And so they are executed. Yeah, no problem. Solve that problem. Cut their heads off. No problem. So what do we have? We have a separate church in England. The reason is to get the divorce because of the need for a son. However, of course, Henry has other problems. In particular, money. It's difficult to get enough money, especially when there is a war to fight. And so now the church in England is separate. Henry says, I wonder where I could get some money from. I know. The church has a lot of land in England. I will take some of it. And so here you have the what we call the dissolution of the monasteries. C'est piquer la terre à l'église. The dissolution of the monasteries, 1536 to 8. Je vous donne une date, mais en fait, ça a pris 5 ans. Mais ça commence dans ça. Okay, so the dissolution of the monasteries are a section of the church. We've had a lot of money, a lot of land, gold. They're really, really rich. And so Henry said, no, these monasteries now belong to the king. En fait, on sait qu'il a doublé son revenu. Le roi a doublé son revenu en nationalisant, si vous voulez, les monastères. So that's what, lots of money. And, of course, this is very useful because the land, what did Henry do with the land? He sold the land very cheap to his friends. Yeah? When you are king, especially in the feudal system, you need friends. And if you have a lot of land from the church you can give to your friends or sell very cheap, then your position is more stable because you have created a new group of rich people who love Henry because he gave them land which before belonged to the church. Vous donnez une idée, la ville de York, qui était une des grandes villes, la moitié de la ville était la propriété de l'État, de l'Église, et qui a été confisquée. Bon, tu vois, c'est pas quelques maisons ici, là, c'est un peu comme... Je sais pas, c'est un peu comme si le président français nationalisait Microsoft. A lot of money. Okay, so there you go. Now, so as we can see, the aim of Henry's Reformation, his aim was political, I need a son, and economic, I need some money. So it is not really a religious reformation. It's a political and an economic reformation. But, of course, once you have the independent church in England, the Protestants, c'est-à-dire qu'il n'y a pas une église protestante séparée, mais il y a les idées des protestants qui circulent, they become more and more important. Because if I'm a Protestant at this time, I can say, I want big changes in the church. Look, the Pope is not the boss now. The King is the boss. That's a big change. Let's have some more big changes. Yeah. My position, my influence is greater as a Protestant after the separation. Okay, and so one of the results of this is the 10 Articles. This is the religious side. So the 10 Articles, very simple idea. The 10 Articles are 10... The 10 Articles are 10 important elements of religion in England. Henry establishes the 10 Articles, which include some Protestant ideas. Donc, moins de cérémonies dans les églises, plus de simplicité, un plus grand rôle pour le public. ce genre de choses, des idées protestantes. Et notamment, il approuve la publication de la Bible en anglais. Okay, so a radical Protestant idea. Henry approves. Yes, it's okay. We want the Bible published in English. Remember, I said that Henry was not a Protestant. Henry is fundamentally not a Protestant. But because of the situation, he makes concessions to the Protestants. The Protestants are the people who support him most when he is taking the land of the church and fighting against the Pope. And so it's okay, you can have the Bible in English. That's a big symbolic change, because the Bible in Latin is read by the priest, and the priest explains to you. But the Bible in English, you can read, so you are much more important in the church if the Bible is in English. It sounds a little strange today, but publishing the Bible in English was a revolutionary idea at this time, really. Remember, 500 years or more, 1,200 years, the Bible only in Latin, for 1,200 years, pour mille deux cents ans. And then suddenly we have the Bible in English. It's a big change. Okay. Bon, entre-temps, vous le savez, Henri VIII continue à essayer d'avoir un fils en divorçant ou assassinant les différentes femmes. Moi, je perds le fil desquelles. Il y a une chanson sur YouTube. Vous allez bien. C'est sous le titre Horrible Histories. Et c'est Henri VIII qui chante sur ce qu'il a fait avec chaque femme. C'est pas très important pour l'histoire, mais c'est rigolo. Ok. Donc, mais parce qu'en fait, qu'est-ce qu'il a fait avec chaque femme? Lesquelles ont été exécutées et lesquelles divorcées? C'est pas très grave. L'essentiel, c'est qu'il voulait un fils et qu'il en a eu. He had one son and also some daughters. So daughters was not so good, but it was better than nothing. And when he died. He was replaced by Edward. So Edward VI. Edward VI became king then once Henry died. However, Edward VI had a problem. What was the problem of Edward when he became king? There's a basic problem, something unusual about Edward when he became king. He was very young. He was a kid. And so he did not have a lot of power himself. 11 ans. He was 9. Yeah, so here is a big conflict, the Pope, the new church, etc. Okay, you're king now, but I'm only 9, can I go to play instead? Yeah, it's a very difficult situation for him. So, of course, but he's the only son, so he must be king. So he now becomes king in, let's see, year 53, is it? 1547. He becomes king in 1547, 9 years old. Alors, ses opinions sur la réforme de l'Église protestante, bof, quoi. Yeah. He didn't know anything. So, of course, really, he is controlled by his advisors, ses conseillers. And at this time, his advisors were really Protestants. They wanted big change in the religion. And so, under Edward VI, we see a series of important laws which established the Church of England as a Protestant church. Puis il meurt à 15 ans. À l'âge de 15 ans. Alors bon, si on va mourir à 15 ans, autant être roi un peu avant, moi, je dis toujours. Ok, this is what he does. And in this period, there are some important laws passed to make the Church of England really a Protestant church. So let's look at that. First of all, des questions, c'est clair. Vous avez le droit de m'interrompre pour poser des questions. Si c'est trop, je vous dirai, mais ça m'étonne rien en général. Vous venez d'arriver à la fac, on ne pose pas trop de questions au cas où. Qu'est-ce que je dis? Oh, the act of uniformity. Okay, it's a law about the church. And the act of uniformity, very simple idea. It says every church must use the same ceremony on Sunday. All the same. Because they had a problem. The problem is that when Henry said the Church of England is now separate, you had 100 different opinions. Oh, well, this is the ceremony. Let's have this ceremony. Let's do it like this. Many, many opinions and debates. And the king and his friends did not want this, and so they imposed the act of uniformity. Oh, c'est la loi sur l'uniformité. Vous allez tous prier de la même façon et vous allez tous croire la même chose. Donc, notez bien, on est très loin. Aujourd'hui, on est très dans l'idéologie. Chacun doit croire ce qu'il a choisi. C'est absolument pas le cas. À l'époque, c'est considéré comme normal. Hein? Non, c'est les très puissants qui décident et nous, on croit ce qu'il nous a dit de croire. Hein? That's really the atmosphere. Yeah. Democracy is a ridiculous, at this time, it's a ridiculous, difficult to imagine question. Okay, so the act of uniformity. You must go to church every Sunday and you must use the same book. The first time you refuse to go to church, you are in prison for 3 months. If you do it 3 times, you are executed. Ok, ça donne tout d'un coup envie de croire ce qu'ils disent de croire. Hein? So very, very severe establishment here. This is also the time of the Book of Common Prayer. The experts who were friends of Edward, they wrote a book, The Book of Common Prayer. This is the only book you are allowed to use in church on Sunday. This is the only one. The Book of Common Prayer. Interesting. Firstly, this is the official title. The book is in English, not in Latin. It's very important. And secondly, this is an extremely successful book. Today, in England, they use this every Sunday. And in America, the Episcopalian churches use this book every Sunday. The same book, 1549. Yeah, tout petit changement. So, it was a very successful book. Parce que si vous écrivez un livre et 550 ans, 450 ans après, on l'utilise dans toutes les églises. C'est assez rassurant. Okay, now, this was not easy because there was a lot of debate. People did not agree. And so the first Book of Common Prayer was followed a few years later with the second Book of Common Prayer. That is, this idea of imposing one book on everybody was not easy. A lot of people disagreed with this, with that detail, this prayer, that prayer, etc. And so it was a gradual attempt to continue. And the second Book of Common Prayer was more Protestant. Yes. Yes, oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. The act of the same everywhere, and the act of uniformity imposes the Book of Common Prayer. It's the same action. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, under Edward VI, England becomes really, for the first time, a Protestant nation. Now, of course, Edward dies after only 6 years. So, big changes in only 6 years, and Edward dies, and when he is dying, he says, the next queen is Jane Grey. J j'ai oublié, elle fait partie de la famille royale, mais j'ai oublié, elle est cousine de nièce, de trucs comme ça. And he says, our new queen will be Jane Grey. Il y a des moments où il faut refuser les boulots qu'on vous propose, hein, parce qu'on lui propose d'être reine, et les autres gens qui ne sont pas trop d'accord, parce qu'elle est trop protestante, elle l'assassine, et puis elle n'est jamais reine. Parce qu'elle est assassinée dans quelques jours après. Manque de bol. Hein? Poor old Jane. So, in fact... donc, en fait, elle est en position de reine pendant 9 jours, mais elle n'est pas couronnée. C'est avant le couronnement. Avant le couronnement, elle se fait emprisonner et exécuter. C'est pire que la fac. OK. And so, in fact, it is the friends of Mary, who are successful and establish Queen Mary I as the new queen. The new queen, then Mary I. And accidentally, c'est intéressant parce que toute l'histoire est poussée par ces grandes différences sur la modernisation de la religion et de l'économie et tout ça. Mais puis, il y a des accidents. Et il s'est dit, un accident que Mary, elle est catholique. And so, she will try to re-impose Catholicism. She will contact the Pope and say, we want to be Catholic again. Not so easy, because you know, in England, people have many different opinions. So how did she succeed? Well, she went to the Parliament and she said, I want you to pass laws to make England a Catholic country again, but you know all the land which Henry took from the... Please come in. It's okay. You know all the land which Henry took from the church. You can keep it. Donc elle impose le catholicisme, mais elle n'ose absolument pas reprendre toutes les richesses, redonner toutes les richesses à l'Église qui ont été prises par Henri, c'est-à-dire l'équivalent de milliards et de milliards de dollars. Bon, d'accord, il n'y avait pas encore les dollars. Vous voyez. So, it's like a compromise. I am now Mary, and I will re-establish Catholicism, but I accept that I cannot give all the riches and all the lands back to the Catholic Church. So we have the Catholic Church again, but not so powerful as before. So c'est ce qu'on appelle au XXe siècle réel politique. Elle est réaliste. De toute façon, si elle disait, voilà, toutes les terres qui ont été prises à l'Église et distribuées et vendues partout, on les reprend, il y a un coup d'État, il y a une autre reine. Alors, elle n'est pas bête, elle dit, non, je ne vais pas faire ça. And so, she then re-establishes Catholicism. It's quite complicated. First of all, under Edward, many, many priests have got married. Parce qu'Edouard, il a annoncé que les prêtres pouvaient se marier, donc une idée protestante classique. Alors là, Mary arrive sur le trône, il y a plein de prêtres mariés, elle les oblige à se séparer de leurs épouses. Yeah, quite heavy stuff. Also, she executed quite a lot of Protestants. And she executed in that special way by burning them alive. Yeah, donc c'est le bûcher, c'est très bien. Sometimes in the books you see this idea of Mary. She is often known as Bloody Mary. Probably she was not more bloody than Henry or more bloody than Elizabeth, but she was a Catholic, and at the end of the story the Catholics lost. Et comme vous le savez, c'est les vainqueurs qui écrivent l'histoire. So she is Bloody Mary, and she burnt 274 Protestants dans l'espace de quelques années. we have some wonderful stories. They have there's a story of a young lady who was burnt, and she was pregnant, and her baby arrived while she was burning, and they took it and threw it into the flames and burned the baby as well. It was great. That's a really good time, you know. It's a really exciting time, yeah. So, au revoir que j'ai eu une éducation catholique, ça m'excite voir brûler les protestants. Okay, right. No, not really. So this is what Mary did. One particular case was very interesting. This was Thomas Cranmer. Now, Thomas Cranmer was tried for heresy. Donc, il a été mené en procès pour hérésie. Because Thomas Cranmer was a Protestant, and he said, you know, the Pope does not represent God. Normal Protestant idea. And so Mary decided to execute him, but it's also a political situation, and Mary thought it will be a good idea if before we execute him, we have a trial. Un procès public, c'est mieux, c'est très éducatif, c'est propagande politique, tout ça. And what they did is they tortured Cranmer, and he signed a document. Yes, I agree. Yeah, the Pope is wonderful. So Thomas Cranmer. So he, comme vous savez, torture les gens, vous faites n'importe quoi. And so what they said is, we are going to execute you, but before we execute you, we want you to go into the church, the big church in Oxford, and explain to everybody why the Pope is the true voice of God. And Thomas Cranmer said, okay, okay. And Mary was very happy, a propaganda victory. Our big Protestant enemy in public will tell everybody that the Pope is right. So, and then we'll be executed. However, at the very last moment in the church in Oxford, Thomas Cranmer said, I have written many things which were false, and I now declare the Pope is the Antichrist. Donc il déclare en public, le pape, c'est l'Antichrist. Bon, on le vide vite fait de l'Église et on le brûle. Et on dit qu'il a dit, je veux que ma main droite brûle d'abord parce que c'est avec cette main que j'ai signé ces horribles mensonges. So, this is just a story, but it's a very important propaganda defeat for Mary. A very important propaganda defeat for Mary. Again, in general, Mary wanted to re-establish Catholicism, but some things were difficult. For example, the Bible in English was not made illegal. Le problème, c'est que pendant plusieurs années, les gens, ils ont eu droit à la Bible en anglais. Et c'était délicat de le réinterdire. Alors, il y avait des choses qu'elle n'a pas réussi à remettre en place. Tout ça dans l'espace de 5 ans. Parce que après 5 ans de règne, elle meurt aussi. OK? En fait, à l'époque, même les gens très riches, souvent, ils meuraient... jeunes de tout type de maladies, bien sûr, les pauvres, beaucoup plus. Les pauvres, c'est plutôt genre, je ne sais pas, vous faites 20 enfants, il y en a 3 qui survivent jusqu'à l'âge de l'adulte. Quoi. Ça, c'est un peu normal. Quoi. Ça a l'air rigolo comme vie, non? Pas trop. OK, right. Also, at this time, there was then a very big debate in England. The Protestant preachers went from village to village secretly under Mary, having secret meetings to talk about Protestantism. And the Catholic priests went to new schools. The church, the Catholic Church, established new schools to educate the priests so they could reply to the arguments of the Protestants. Avant cette période, dans l'Église catholique, la prêche, ce n'était pas très important. On faisait la messe, on ne prêchait pas trop. Mais à ce moment-là, l'Église catholique établit la prêche comme une partie importante tous les dimanches. Et vous pouvez le voir dans les églises. Le problème, c'est que j'ai oublié le vocabulaire. Dans les églises, parfois, au milieu de l'église, il y a un petit escalier et puis une chaire, c'est ça ? Un endroit spécial en haut pour prêcher. Et ce grand meuble-là n'existait pas avant les réformes. L'ont introduit parce que la prêche est devenue plus importante. Ok, so, 1558, Mary is dead, and we have Elizabeth the First, who is therefore coming to be the queen. However, something completely different, because Elizabeth will be very lucky. She will be queen from 1558 till 1602. Yeah? A lot of years. Okay? So, this is an accident. It's lucky. Well, what we had was Henry VIII, quite a long reign, separating the church in England. Edward VI, just 6 years, but big Protestant reforms. Mary I, just 5 years. But a violent and determined attempt to re-establish Catholicism. And then Elizabeth, who has a long time to try and to succeed in stabilising the situation. And she will stabilise the situation. In fact, she will introduce what we call the Elizabethan settlements. Un peu le compromis élisabétain, donc un compromis religieux. And this will be very important in establishing the Church of England in its modern form, but also will be a period where you have the beginning of the British Empire. Because at this period, it was not obvious that Britain was going to have the biggest empire in history. But this is the period when it will just begin to happen. Okay, and so let's have a look a little bit at what Elizabeth's role is. Mais seulement si je trouve la suite de mes...